I'd like to continue in Isaiah. I will take a break from him after the next time. But Isaiah chapter 14, I'm going to read from verse 22 until 27. Isaiah chapter 14, from verse 22. For I will rise up against them, says the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon the name and remnant, and offspring and posterity, says the Lord. I will make it a possession for the porcupine, and marshes of muddy water. I will sweep it with a broom of destruction, says the Lord of hosts. There we have Babylon. In the verses which I'm going to read, we have Assyria, and these are the two great leviathans of the ancient world as far as Israel and Judah were concerned. The great superpowers, the great empires which had a habit of swallowing up other nations. And yet what God is saying here is that there will be no trace of it left. Now, I've indicated before that even after the fall of Babylon, Babylon survived. It survived in other religions. It survived in so-called Christian denominations. And of course, it bespeaks religious confusion, of which there is a great deal about today. But the Lord is saying here, I'm not just going to destroy the earthly empire, but its kind of ideas will be allowed to continue forever. Actually, the whole of Babylon will be destroyed forever. Its name, its remnant, its offspring, its posterity, they're all going to go. And you've got this rather wonderful picture, sweep it with the broom of destruction. It's going to be swept away, it's going to be put into the bin, and from there it will be incinerated. Good riddance. We then have Assyria from verse 24. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely, as I have thought, so it shall come to pass. And as I have purposed, so it shall stand. Thou will break the Assyrian in my land, and on my mountains tread him underfoot. Then his yoke shall be removed from them, and his burden removed from their shoulders. This is the purpose that is purposed against the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out over all the nations. The Lord of hosts has purposed, and who will annul it? His hand is stretched out, and who will turn it back? You might have noticed a slight change of emphasis there. He begins by talking about the Assyrian Empire, one of its famous cities being Nineveh. But he's not just talking about the destruction of Assyria. Assyria was destroyed in Bible times. Notice in verse 26, this is the purpose that is purposed against the whole earth. Well, Assyria is not the whole earth. Assyria was Assyria. But that which is spoken against Assyria has a wider remit. Again, and this is the hand that is stretched out over all the nations. So what is God actually saying here? Well, I put it to you that Assyria and Babylon, they were actual empires and races of people in their day, but they stand for something greater and wider. Babylon stands for religious confusion. All these religious ideas, all these kind of spiritual lies which are told, but contrary to God's truth. The spirit of Babylon, which confuses people, and distracts them from the truth of the gospel, its days are numbered. There is a great deal of false religion out there, but it will not be suffered forever. Well, if that's what Babylon may represent, what Assyria, and we know here Assyria has a wider meaning than just that particular nation. The Assyrians, of course, were another pagan nation like the Babylonians. They weren't quite so good at exporting their religious ideas as their cousins of Babylon. Assyria, rather, was known for its violence and its bloodshed. They were icons of horror and terror in the ancient world. And I put it to you that even today, there are nations not called Assyria, but they're characterized by bloodshed. They're characterized by violence. They cannot see a neighboring nation without trying to invade it. And I think what Isaiah is seeing here is the Lord's determination to stamp out once and for all every religious deceit and lie. Furthermore, he is going to banish every violent, bloody pagan government. Not just those from the time of Isaiah, but those from our time as well. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Isn't it hard to imagine when nations are not going to invade each other? Hard to imagine when, you know, nuclear weapons are going to disappear. Hard to imagine what this is going to happen. But notice that, you know, verse 26, this is the purpose that is purposed against the whole earth. And verse 24, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely I have thought, so it shall come to pass. Here we have the promises of God. And the promises of God are more sure than anything else you will ever hear. False religion, its days are numbered. Bloody, violent people being in control, commanding armies, invading. Their days and times are numbered as well. And I will put it to you that Isaiah may not fully understand it, but he's actually seeing the second coming of Christ. And that return, false religion will go, an evil government will be exiled. When people pray for peace on earth, if they wanted to be more biblical, they'd pray for the return of the Prince of Peace. Because while Satan's lies are whirling round, and while Satan's henchmen are controlling presidential palaces, there will not be peace on earth. But we're praying tonight to a God who has said, evil will not be allowed to reign forever. He will return, he will judge, and he will establish righteousness on this planet. Therefore, when you pray to him, be of good cheer, because we are on the victory side. Doesn't feel like it, does it? You know, look how empty the churches are. Look how full other places of worship, I won't name any, are. The number of people in this part of the world that don't claim to believe in God, that they're going up. Godlessness seems to be everywhere. But it is going to be short-lived. Let's remember that. Amen. Amen.